Welcome to Flames Unfiltered, hosted by Brad Brood and Kyle Lewis. And the regular season is drawing closer and closer every single day.
Yeah, just turn the corner now. We're getting into the guts of campus work. So a couple injuries, too. One, you know, fairly concerning we talked about last week, another that I wasn't even aware of that kind of affects our minor league depth. But
we wouldn't have cared about that. We're talking about the Kevin Rooney injury. And we wouldn't have cared, even heading into camp, did we?
No, not at all.
And now we kind of do.
We're kind of counting that, counting the days until that contract was done, I guess. To this day, I can't understand why Trey Living signed that. I don't mind signing Kevin Rooney, but to that deal, I don't get it. But
I never understood that one, but I don't know that we saw a fair representation of him, though. Is that a fair way to put it?
I don't think we saw a fair representation of anyone last season when you really think of it. But
so maybe, I don't know. I just started, I started messing with the lines, and I don't know. I feel like we need him as our fourth line center now, don't we?
I'm not convinced, truthfully. I think there's lots of other options potentially, depending on how it all shakes out. I mean, there's a little bit of shuffling now. Somebody's going to make the team that we didn't expect to.
Yeah.
Or may not have fully expected to, like a Connor Zeri, Dryden Hunt. We've thrown a few names last week. Tonight actually will be a really interesting test because I don't know if you looked at the lineups for tonight, but the Oilers are icing a very heavy laden NHL caliber lineup, and the Flames are not.
We are recording this right before the Flames Oilers Wednesday night preseason matchup. And yeah, I did look at the lineups and I was like, okay, that's exactly the flip-flop of what we saw last week when we played the Oilers and we had a veteran laden lineup at the Dome and they had a very C squad to say. yes. And beat us. So what does that tell you?
Well, not a whole lot in the preseason, but it's going to be interesting. It's really cool to see a game where a lot of the Flames younger players, get a long look, a lot of ice time. And they're going to rely heavily on guys like Zadorov in this game, I would think. But it's going to be a very telling game. I think you'll see the next round of cuts, sometime probably tomorrow afternoon or first thing on Friday.
That, going back to that Edmonton game last week where they lost 2-1, and it was there parts of that game where you're just like, oh my, this is the Flames of last year?
Yeah, but that's just PTSD. That's all that is. Just PTSD. So you're going to feel those glimpses here and there. I mean, because a lot of the personnel is the same, but this team is much, much different than what we had last year.
I agree. I thought Vladar was good in that game. I think, who did we see is getting the start tonight? Wolf? Is that correct?
Actually, interestingly, seeing a few comments on social media about how it's basically determined at this point that it's Markstrom Vladar to start with the team. And I think that's true, but I still think there's still some camp left, obviously, for Wolf to prove himself a little more, but also these couple of injuries to the Flames, issues in other cities, potentially with goaltending, like there might still be an opportunity for a move here. So I'm not completely convinced that'll be the case just yet.
And I'm fine if there is a move, as long as it is the right move. I am not honestly going to lose sleep, though, if we have to start with Wolf in the AHL. I'm not going
to
lose sleep.
I don't think anybody is. And it's preferable to remember that year we tried to run with Ramo, Hiller, and Ortio.
I do remember that year.
And lost. Was that the year? That was the year we lost Paul Byron on a waiver to the Habs.
That is the year.
Now, not losing sleep over that decision is different than all the Blue Jays fans out there, they'll be losing sleep tonight after John Schneider's decision, but I won't go too far down that road. We're a hockey podcast, but I was swearing at my television not too long ago, I assure you.
I'm not a Jays fan, so I don't care.
But it does, actually, whether you are or you aren't, fair enough, first of all. But it does point to an interesting kind of pattern of over-reliance on analytics, because that's a lot of the chatter around the Blue Jays. It's like they're relying far too much on advanced statistics. And I do think there's a danger in that, because, again, if we look at the Flames last year, they were advanced stats darlings in many categories, and we're a garbage team
many nights. That has me thinking, Kyle. Let's rewind to about Sunday. We're going to rewind to Sunday. I was driving to my daughter's golf tournament, and I was thinking about analytics as I was listening to a podcast. And I thought to myself, analytics are often bullshit.
Yeah.
And then I said to myself, well, are you saying that because you don't know what you should know about analytics? And I was driving, I was thinking, God, I wish I could take a class on hockey analytics. Just so I've always been an old school guy, but I want to understand it better. Like I really truly want to understand it better.
Yeah.
But I don't know where or how to learn it the proper way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, it depends on who you talk to, because I mean it is an important part of any sport. I'm a big believer, and it's like the one that always comes to mind for me was like Kent Wilson talking about Chris Russell blocking shots. You know, it's preferable, like it's like killing rats. It's preferable to not doing it, but it indicates you have a much larger problem, right? Because they just keep coming, and the puck kept coming at him, because with Chris Russell on the ice, the puck was never going in the right direction. That's an advanced stat I can firmly get behind. If you're a defenseman or a player on the ice and the puck's always going towards the opposition's net, there's something to be said for that. You're driving play. Like, but there's some more advanced stats that get really convoluted and don't seem to move the win meter percentage a whole lot. So I think it's like anything else. You got to take it and leave it. I wouldn't dismiss it entirely. I think analytics is very important, but over-reliance I think is dangerous because you don't always get results, right?
Well, and we've seen it a lot in baseball in the last few years in the playoffs where analytics has really come into play. You know, it really has.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it does. And with good reason. But again, like there's certain intangibles with any sport. I mean, if you're watching on the field or on the ice and your team keeps losing despite having strong analytics, what does it matter, right?
Exactly. Don't worry. I'm not a Jays fan, but my Brewers are probably going to lose today too. So I'm not exempt from the pain.
No, nobody is when you're a pro sports fan. That's for damn sure, regardless of the sport.
No. I saw an interesting tidbit this week on Twitter. I saw that the Calgary Wranglers have invited former Colorado College goalie and Mike Vernon's son Matt to training camp. Now most people are like, "Yeah, most people are like, who the hell is he?" Interesting story. He played goalie for the Aberdeen Wings and went on to win a North American Hockey League championship, and played against my local junior team frequently and got to watch him a lot. And he is a small goalie like Mike is, and was really good, really effective. He's 25 now. I can't believe that, because I watched him when he was 18, 19, and 20, and it's like, wow, where did the time go? But yeah, he's going to get a shot with the Wranglers. So we have another undersized goalie on our hands.
That's kind of cool, though. I like stories like that. And if he's a battler like his father was, he is a goalie, then
he is truly a battler. Truly a battler.
That's interesting. And it's nice to see there's still goalies that, you know, despite their size, can still make it in the game, like Dustin Wolf, or the best example right now, UC Saros. Like, there's still a place for them, but they got to be athletic, and they got to work to make up for that lack of size, right? Because goaltenders today, they're all freaking 6'3 to 6'6, it seems.
Well, it's almost a requirement, it seems like. But I know I cheer for the younger, not younger, the smaller size guys. And man, we grew up watching a lot of undersized goalies really, really, really succeed. So I don't know. We'll see. Speaking of goaltenders, how did you feel about Markstrom early on in that Winnipeg game on whatever Monday night it was?
Yeah, that was a little concerning, because, I mean, that was harkening back to some of the goals we saw last year, right?
So how long before this PTSD wears off for me? Because when I saw that on Monday, I was like, oh, I can't go through another year of that, you know?
I feel like anytime you try to get a handle on where your hockey team is as a team, like, you, to me, it's like you got to be 25, 30 games in to really start to feel comfortable, which kind of puts you around the Christmas time, right? So, because that's kind of your first break where you can kind of do that whole hindsight thing. And
American Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, our Thanksgiving is this weekend. So that doesn't.
Is it this week? Starting
yet, right?
Yeah. American Thanksgiving is a telling point. That's right around the 25th.
Is that the telling point where they always say, like, you know, if you're in a playoff spot by that time,
Yeah. It works out to, like, I can't remember exactly the numbers. Why does 82.3% of the time stick in my head?
It's a lot, yeah.
It's but high, yeah. It's fairly high. It's fairly high.
Yeah.
A lot of talk during that Winnipeg-Calgary game about how Huska has the team playing a zone defense versus a man-to-man. And first period is probably a bad time for me to start thinking about it because it didn't look good at all. It got much, much better as the second and third period were very solid periods. But what's your thought about that transition and how long you think that transition defensively will take this team to sort out?
I would say probably around 15 games to really get it in place. I'm still trying to decide what my preference would be. I mean, I think that zone coverage is probably more conducive to an offensive-minded team like the Flames are likely to be. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting. What are your thoughts on that? Do you have a preference, or do you think it's going to take a certain point yourself?
Well, they were talking about it being a copycat league, and this is what Vegas did last year. And I don't know. I'm not always like... I think teams go on runs, and I don't necessarily think Vegas won the Stanley Cup because they played that style of defense. So that being said, I'm okay with it as long as our defensemen can handle it. But then I think about last year's defensive core and how good I thought they were and how we at times struggled defensively, so maybe this is a positive change.
Well, I think based on the way the team performed last year and the overall cloud around them, I think any change is a step in the right direction. Try to move on from what was, whether it's systems, personnel, you want a fresh start in as many ways as possible, I think, especially when you have a season that was as disappointing as that one was.
Yeah.
That's my take.
Anyway. I agree. Right now I'm willing to try anything. It scares me. I'm apprehensive, but you know what? I don't know what I'm apprehensive about everything with this team, and I'm not trying to sound Debbie Downer on this team because later on in the show, Kyle and I are going to talk about our predictions, and
yeah.
I feel fairly confident. It's weird because I think this fan market is really scared because we don't know what direction we're going.
Well, and that's kind of when you asked me about doing predictions, we were texting about the other day. I would argue most teams in that division are trending in a pretty clear direction, except for the Flames. I mean, and we'll get into this a bit more later on in the show, but LA is improving, rather quickly, perhaps quicker than some had thought, bringing in Dubois, for example, as part of that, while other teams like, obviously, Vegas trying to maintain their spot as, having won the cup, or the Oilers who are seemingly on the cusp of potentially, getting through to the next round. So San Jose is still floundering. Anyway, as far as the whole division goes, like Calgary, I think is the biggest X factor, question mark in that whole division.
So let's skip ahead. We got no script here. Let's talk predictions for the Pacific.
Sure.
You talk about Vegas, and I think the most intriguing teams in the division this year are the teams I have slotted finishing 3, 4, and 5 and 6, actually. Yeah. Calgary, I don't know which direction they're going. Vegas, I'm not sure what direction they're going. Vancouver, I'm not sure what direction they're going. And honestly, Seattle, I don't know. I got my guess on Seattle. But who do you have winning the Pacific?
That's the hardest one of all.
No, I don't think it is at all. I have my winner easily. I do. I have it already.
Lay it on me.
I think the Edmonton Oilers, if the Edmonton Oilers do not win the Pacific, something's wrong.
It's funny. I have them second because I think something could go wrong. Namely, I don't trust their goaltending at all.
I don't either.
Or the defense.
But they can score their way out of that, can't they? I believe that. I believe they're that strong offensively.
They should be able to, and one of the X factors for that team, I think, is Connor Brown. He missed virtually all of last season, and he's a scoring winger. He's fast. Could really make a difference there. But I the defense is suspect, and I really don't trust that goaltending. Jack Campbell's been a complete flop, and I don't think Skinner is necessarily the real deal.
I agree with you.
But they can score the way to trouble. I agree with you. So I do have them as high as second.
Well, who do you have first?
I don't want to be that guy, but I honestly think it's going to be Calgary. I really do.
Do you really?
I do.
Oh, and I love your enthusiasm.
The two biggest reasons, Markstrom and Huberdeau. I think they both have massive bounce back years. The other reason, and this is early to say, but I'm gonna liken this to something that we talked about before, about Matthew Coronato. So as much as people are saying Dustin Wolf is probably Calgary Wranglers bound to start the season, mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. Everybody now has Coronato penciled in top nine, almost definitively top six.
I think I have him penciled in on an exact line. And you can call it our second line, or you can call it our third line. You put him with Backlund, and
I'll get the Backlund bump for sure.
Why would you, if you know you're going to get it and you want to set a young kid up for success, is it not silly not to do that? Look how we watched him in Winnipeg the other night.
Oh, yeah. I think obviously he'd do well there. Everybody does. But I'm tempted to put him right up on the first line, like him and Sharon Govich. I mean, I think he's going to be that good. This is what I was going to say is I think it almost reminds me of the year of Dion Phaneuf's rookie year. There was no way he's going to win the Calder because it was Ovechkin and Crosby, right?
Yep.
I could see a Coronato. There's no way he's going to win it because of Connor Bedard. But I said before, and I'll say again, he's top five rookies this year, possibly top three. He has a wicked shot and all the opportunity in the world. So between him and, like I mentioned, Huberdeau and Markstrom having bounce back seasons, I don't know. I see the Flames pulling it off. I'm not going to correlate that to playoff success because that's a whole other story.
Hopefully. I'm not holding you to that. Like, I hope we get to this point where in April we can have a playoff prediction show. I really hope that we do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you got Calgary first, Edmonton second. I have Edmonton first. I have LA second. I love what LA has done. They've done everything good. I worry about their goaltending.
They're running with our old tandem. Well, okay, excuse me. They are running with one of our old tandems in Talbot and Rittich, although Rittich could be Ontario Reignbound in the AHL.
I don't
think it's pretty well. Go spot.
Yes, I think it's going to be Copley, and I believe it'll be Talbot, and I believe Talbot will get a lot of starts, and I think he'll be very good because he's usually very good.
But hot and cold. He gets hotter than anybody, but then he cools off. So I go Calgary, Edmonton. I got Vegas because still a very deep team. With LA right behind them, actually. And I can almost flip-flop there because LA is on the rise. But again, LA's goaltending, like you said, a little suspect. I am not a big Pierre-Luc Dubois fan. I don't think he's a real asset in the locker room based on what I know of him.
No, I've heard the same thing too.
So, but that's kind of a back and forth.
I slid Calgary.
Vegas, LA. Where do you go next?
I've got your side? Edmonton, LA, and I'm going to slide Calgary in at third. I think Calgary is, just to reiterate on exactly what you said. I mean, this team almost made the playoffs and had how many players having career low years?
And lost how many games with one goal? And I still contend, had they made the playoffs, they could have been dangerous.
They very well could have been. We talked about that a lot in the spring last year as we fought for a playoff spot. I have Vegas sitting in fourth. I think Vegas is a really, really, really good hockey team, but now they won the cup.
But you know what? There's something to be said for that. The Stanley Cup hangover, 100%.
And it's there's still a ton of goaltending questions in that. I mean, I love Logan Thompson, but do you think he's the man? I mean, Robin Lehner's all but gone. I mean,
No, I don't. That's going to be interesting to see how things play for them. And then also the health of Mark Stone, you know, with his back, anything but a sure thing.
For sure. That's going to be interesting. They could win the division. They could finish in sixth, I think. And I'm not joking. I believe there's that much fluctuation that could happen with Vegas.
Well, that's kind of how I feel about Seattle, too. So I have Seattle in fifth, because I don't think they're for real. I think Matty Beniers is for real. There's certain things about that team that I like, but you know how with those younger teams or even the newer teams, you know, like Seattle or Vegas, there's that year where they kind of bust through and it's like, oh shit, these guys are actually pretty good. They come together as a team.
They run on adrenaline.
Yeah, I think they peaked earlier than people thought they would, and I don't think they're quite that good. And now they're going to start tweaking their roster to remain competitive, because I really think last year is a bit of an aberration for them. I just don't see a lot of depth in that team, you know, over the course of several seasons. I think they had got hot. A lot of guys had really strong years, but I don't know. I'm not sold on them.
And I got them falling to sixth. Basically,
it's a crapshoot for me.
I have Seattle falling to sixth.
That's a big fall. So you're basically reiterating what I said, but what do you want to add to that? Because clearly you have less faith in them than I do.
I feel the same as you. I think as a young team, a lot like Vegas was that first year, that ran on adrenaline and things went their way. I don't think you can
replicate. That's like the 14-15 Flames, right?
Yeah, and I don't think you can replicate that the next year, can you? So I have them falling, and I have them falling all the way to sixth. I have Vancouver in fifth.
And they are so hard to get a read.
I have no idea what about this Vancouver team. I have absolutely no idea.
No, not a bit. Some really good pieces: Connor Garland, JT Miller, obviously Pettersson, Quinn Hughes,
and they have a Vezina quality goalie in Demko.
Yeah, but some question marks in terms of his backup. But also just a team that. They just can't seem to put it all together. I don't know how to describe Vancouver, but they're
soft.
They're soft. They're kind of directionless the way that they play. I don't think they've really got an identity at this point. And then as far as that last two teams of the division, just to cap this off on my side, 7 and 8, toss up between Anaheim and San Jose. Anaheim has better, younger players. San Jose is still floundering with a bit of an older roster. Not a ton of prospective depth at this point. So, yeah, I mean, those two teams kind of battling out for the last spot in the division in my mind.
I have that, too.
I do have San Jose left. I do have Anaheim ahead of them, only because, yeah, John Gibson can't be that bad again. Trevor Zegras is obviously fantastic. Jamie Drysdale's a good player. Like, there's some reasons to be optimistic in Anaheim. There's not much reason for optimism right now in San Jose.
So is one of those two teams have any potential at all to surprise us and move up? I don't feel so.
No, I think it's honestly the first five teams in the division. Who the hell knows? It's going to be fascinating. Like, I'm not going to say Pacific is the toughest division in hockey. I don't believe that, but I do think it might be possibly the most contested. It's almost like it's a dangerous amount of mediocrity.
No, that's probably should be the headline of the episode is that they are. This division is so up in the air. Yeah. Outside of Edmonton, it pains me and kills me to say that about Edmonton, but yeah. I don't know how you can have that much upfront talent and then Bouchard coming into his own on the back end offensively. I don't know. They lack a Norris quality defenseman and they lack a goaltender that anybody trusts. But boy, that team scares me.
I did like the Ekholm trade last year. I thought that was the player they had to acquire. And he was, as described, he was a huge help to them in a full season of him. I could see them winning Division 2 for sure. Just, again, that goaltending just really scares me.
I like what you're thinking. I like where you got Calgary going. I do. I hope. Gotta be optimistic. I hope you're right. Let's talk projections on players then, since we're... got the prediction wand out.
Well, let me throw one at you then. Yeah. Because this has been the topic the last few days. So Andrew Mangiapane.
All right.
Has obviously shown a bit of chemistry on the top line. Do you try that to start the season or do you go a different direction?
This is kind of what I touched on earlier. Yeah, I'm gonna try it because what I saw in Sarangovich, Backlund, and Coronado, I loved.
Yeah.
And I think if you're gonna give Ruziska a spot on this team, you have to put him in the top six or you might as well get rid of him.
Oh, I agree 100%. So if he can start to use that body his a little bit more, like the guy like Kadri especially.
So you put him with Kadri and Dubé?
Yep.
I think you go with Lindholm, Huberto, Mangiapane. On the fourth line, I think you have Coleman on one side, Dewar on the other, and the center. I don't know if you go out and claim somebody on waivers.
You touched on this last week, and now it's become even a little bit muddier because we had Pelche go down long term. Rooney, who I don't think that necessarily bumped him up, but
they're saying multiple months, 2 months at least for Pelche, yeah. And they're saying it's could be long term for Rooney. I don't know what's injured, but it's not a close return here for him. No, so
for not another one,
I don't.
So that basically it means
well, you Hunt, go
sorry,
Schwint.
Schwint, and he didn't have, you know, he didn't move the needle much last year. Klapka still, you know, hanging around too. That would be a surprise one to me, but
yeah, but where are you going to put him? He's a winger. We need a fourth line center.
Yeah, but that could change some other things too, right? And maybe it's they're going to be carrying extra forward, so that could be Klapka, right?
That would be Klapka.
Yeah, Hunt is still in the mix.
I think you go pick up a guy in waivers. I do. There's going to be good players out there. Now it just got to fit into the cap because with these injuries, I did see that. What did it say that? I saved it here. Okay. Rooney's on a one way, so we have to eat as a whole thing while he's injured. 1.3. We have to eat it while he's injured.
Pelche. Why did they ever give him that kind of money? I do not get that.
Pelche is on a two-way, and he's spent less than 50 games on an NHL roster, so it's prorated down to $406,000. If both players are going to be unavailable for 10 to 24 games, this is info from Ryan Pike, they'll be eligible for an LTIR placement, and the Flames would have 1.7 to work with depending on cap space when the LTIR begins. Now, Gilbert sounds like he's going to be back. He's practicing with the main group now. So I pencil him as our seventh D-man.
Just behind Esterle.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's good to pinch like he was last year. It's weird. We're not. This is new territory for us, right? We always had guys like Trevor Lewis hanging around, you know, that were pretty well locked in for that fourth-line center spot.
So I think the guy... Michael Stone. I think the guy that, you know, like you look at camp, right? And the guy that stood out the most is Coronado, right?
Yep, 100%.
And I'm agreeing with you, and I wavered a lot whether you give him a position on the roster or not. I think he's fully, completely, honestly earned it. I think he's been one of the biggest preseason surprises in the National Hockey League.
Yep, agreed.
As far as other guys at camp, I think... Osterley's probably not really surprised, but maybe calmed our nerves and that I think most of us believe that he can do the job as a six, you know, man D man. I also think that probably my biggest camp surprise is Slovyov on the back end.
Yep.
He's a 22-year-old, I believe. He looks like he's 32. I mean, he does.
He's got a ton of poise.
Do I dare? I'm not trying to take this with a grain of salt, but I kind of compare him to a Tanev-style defenseman. Mm-hmm. He's going to block the shot. He's going to get into the dirty areas. He's going to do.
I think he's got with a little bit more mobility, a little more offensive instincts too. Like he's a great two-way defenseman. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the opening night roster.
Ryan Huska said he's in a position. He's pushing. Yeah. He said he's. Not just to be taken seriously, but he's pushing to knock somebody out of a job. Yep. That's a pretty strong quote from the head
coach. Well, and credit to Conroy and Husker for doing exactly what they said they were going to do. The guys are getting opportunity, and we're going to have as many as two, maybe three or even four rookies in the lineup in opening night.
How many is too many?
For a team that's going to play the way this one expects to or intends to, you know, I don't know. I think it's going to be good. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be entertaining, to say the least.
I actually think we probably should. And I'm not saying Schwint and Zari should be ruled out. I'm just saying we should probably look for a veteran safety net there just to be there.
Well, it doesn't mean he has to play. Just have one. We can find one, right?
Yeah.
And they're probably already looking. I mean, a couple injuries, you know, midway through camp. It's a cause for concern to any team. Nobody goes into the season expecting injuries, right? I mean, you expect them, but I mean, after you have a few, it's like, okay, like, are we deep enough? Would it really hurt to add an extra body to this?
So I was thinking too, how funny is this? You know, Pelche comes back from injury in a couple months. Who's he taking out of a winger spot? I guess Adam Ruziska. It depends on what he's doing, right?
Yeah.
That's the spot he takes, right?
Probably, yeah. But if Ruziska continues with his similar level of effort, it'll be a pretty easy swap when the time comes.
And people are speaking highly of him in camp this year, and I don't think he's been bad. But I still see tendencies here and there. And quite honestly, I've seen tendencies this camp of Kadri's old bad behavior from last year.
Yeah, which is why it's kind of scary to put those two together, but maybe they find the rhythm.
It is scary. Projections. Let's talk a little bit about what we think the players are going to do this year. And we've talked a lot about, in our episode since we started this season, about bounce back and where we're going to go with that. And let's start with goaltending. I know you expect a bounce back from Markstrom, and thus do I. I had a hard time trying to figure out how many wins each of the three goalies was going to have this year. But I nailed it down. And I think Markstrom's going to have 32 wins this year. I think Vladar's going to have 16, and I think Wolf's going to have 3.
Ooh, 16's a lot, Vladar. I'd go like 36, 6 and like 5. I think Vladar and Wolf are going to be close.
Really?
I do, yeah. Something's going to give here. Like I said, a goalie's getting hurt. Well, hopefully, but hopefully not. I mean, with Calgary, hopefully not.
It's terrible. It's the only area that if somebody goes down, I'm not going to lose a whole lot of sleep.
Yeah, I put the comma in the wrong spot in that sense. But anyway, goalie's getting hurt somewhere, and goalies will start to move a bit because that's what always happens. So, but that's a really, really hard thing to predict. But, I mean, we obviously agree that Markstrom's going to have a bounce back here. Hopefully Vladar is too. Vladar had a winning record but was not particularly good.
Vladar did like Riddick did a few years ago. As soon as he was handed the keys, he stumbled.
Yeah. Well, I think that's also on the coaching staff because they took too long to give him the keys, right?
Oh.
I think by that time as a goaltender, you're probably sitting there thinking, okay, put me in. 2 weeks go by, they're still not giving me a chance. And it's like, oh, fine, they're not going to. Then say, actually, here you go. And it's like, oh, shit.
I know. I agree. I remember when that during that happening, we were both like, please, somebody.
Oh, we were begging for it, you know, 2 weeks before it finally happened. It's like, and, you know, and I know it's armchair coaching, but it's like what happened in the ball game today with Toronto, Minnesota. It's like, there's times to make a change and there's times that you don't. And typically, based on momentum, they are very, very obvious.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I remember that discussion very well because I was quite animated about it.
Defenseman, where do you see Noah Hanifin in points? I'll preface this as we go through these. I will give you what the Hockey News and ESPN project. The Hockey News projects that. Oh, where did he go? I don't even see him on here. Hanifin has 42 points. ESPN has him at 49. Where do you have him?
37.
Really?
Yeah, he always, well, for a few reasons, he always leaves you wanting more offensively. He's a great defenseman, but he never seems to break through with a lot of points. And I think Anderson, Uyghur, both are going to be the guys who put up the most points in the back end by far, such that Hanifin will not have the same offensive opportunities. I think he'll score like 8 or 9 goals. He'll still be valuable.
You're going to laugh at what I say. It's contract year, man. 50 points, watch. Just watch. He's going to make this so hard. Just watch. Yeah,
I wasn't thinking of the contract. That's a pretty astute prediction, actually.
Rasmus Anderson, ESPN has him at 53. Hockey News has him at 52.
Uh-huh. What are you going to go, 51?
I got 58. I think he's going to get a ton of ice time. I think he is going to be a ton.
I think he's going to hit 60.
Wow.
Yep. It's a lot, but you know what? He's going to have all the opportunity in the world to do it.
So
think about it. A guy with a point shot like his on the power play, with a guy like Mark Savard running the power play, I think he's going to see a lot more passes. He'll pick up a lot more assists.
I'm going to piss you off here. I think you're going to be so mad at our power play this year. You're going to be screaming and wishing you didn't say the positive things you said about Savard.
Why do you think that?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything in camp to make me even feel remotely comfortable with our power play.
Oh, I think it's a work in progress.
I agree. And I might be way premature on this. I agree. But I'm being bold. That's what we're here to do, right?
Absolutely. It's preseason predictions, baby.
Zadorov. I have our ESPN doesn't even have him listed.
He's not going to score like, was it 14 goals last year? He ain't doing that again. There will be, okay, real bold prediction. There will be no Nikita Zadorov hat tricks this year. I said it.
Hockey,
thanks for listening. I'm out.
Hockey News has him for 20. I've got him for 18.
I'll go 22.
Woo, you're on a lit. You're going top-notch Vegas bets with everybody.
Why not?
Okay,
why
Let's see. I want to see what you say on this one. Uyghur, ESPN has him at 22. Hockey News has him at 32. I got him at 38. Where do you got him?
He's really good. 44. Oh. He's really, really good.
We are going to have a heavy offensive team this year.
I think so. Now, granted, I think guys like Esterly is going to have like 6, 10 of might have.
Okay, so you maybe got 15. You got ESPN doesn't have him. The Hockey News doesn't even have him listed. I got him at 18.
Yeah, that's a reasonable amount.
Tanev, I got at 14. Hockey News has him at 16. ESPN doesn't even have him. What do you have, Tanev, at?
God. Like 12, 15, yeah, somewhere there.
Right where I got him.
We don't need him to be offensive at all. It's not even fun when he is, but
I don't even think about him as that. But all right, let's go with the big guns now. You you expect a bounce back here from Huberto. You have him at 85?
85, yeah.
I got him at 82. ESPN has him at 60.
Yeah, that's just dumb. That's such an ugh.
Oh, ESPN is dumb. And the Hockey News has him at 83, so they're up with us. They're thinking
that. Yeah, I saw the 83, and I think that's very reasonable. And the 115 points isn't going to happen again.
No.
Like, it's just not. No. You put him with Connor McDavid, you might get the 95, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't see that happening. But he's going to have a huge bounce back here. Lindholm, what do you got?
ESPN has him at 73. The Hockey News has him at 67. I've got him at 70.
I got him at 65.
Okay.
Kadri, I have at the same level, 55. It's a high water mark. Could be 60. What do you got for him?
I have him at 40.
Whew.
ESPN,
what do you have back on that?
ESPN has him at 43, and Hockey News has him at 60.
Yeah. Where you got Backlund?
I've got Backlund at 40 also.
Yeah, I got him at 44.
Hockey News has him at 47. What do you have Sharangovich at?
Sharangovich, see, that's a tricky one. There's going to be a glut of wingers. I'll answer two of them together here. Sharangovich and Mangiapane are both going to be around low 50s.
Whoa, I have Sharangovich at 42, and I got Mangiapane at 40.
I think they're both going to do better than that. And I think you can put Matthew Coronato right in that same area.
I've got Matthew Coronato at 44, and I might be a little soft.
It's hard to know because it's preseason, right? But the early returns are excellent. So
Hockey News has him at 29.
Yeah. Wow, I think that's way too low. But they didn't obviously predict he'd do as well as he has thus far. Pelche, I mean, we can scratch that. I was figuring maybe a good year be a 2020 year for him, but now I think we're going to see, probably around 25 points, depending on how much he plays. Blake Coleman, very consistent, 35 to 40 points.
I got him at 32.
Yep, nothing wrong with that at all. Ruzicka, really a hard one to predict.
Oh, boy, is it 30? Ever.
Yeah, 30.
I got him at 28, so we're right. We're thinking the same thing there. What do you have Walker Dewar at?
He's a wild card too, man. He's going to pot 10 to 15 goals. I guarantee it.
I know.
And I'm going to say 25, 30 points.
I got him at 36 points.
Whew. Wow. He's going to send you a signed jersey for that.
I believe that. I honestly believe that.
Oh, man. That's cool. He's a great player, though.
Did we cover all the forwards? Did we talk? We said Dubé, didn't we?
No, we didn't. Dubé, I can't get a handle on him. Fittest player again.
He was your breakout player last year.
And I was right to a point. You were. But I think he's going to be around 40 because he's the guy that's going to get all the opportunity to bump up when somebody's out, right, or struggling.
ESPN had him at 42. Hockey News had him at 43. I've got him at 32.
Yeah, that's low, but not unreasonable.
Boy, does he always leaves me wanting more.
I can remember you distinctly saying that exact thing about him a year or so ago.
I like him too. I'm gonna tell you something that maybe I'll get in trouble with some of the listeners. One of the things that scares me about him was anytime it seems like there's a player, and it's not just with the Flames organization, it's any Canadian market. If a player does well for a Team Canada in the World Juniors or something like that, or has the number one draft pick tagged on their ass.
Pedigree.
Expectations go up to here, right? And then if their first few years in the National Hockey League are down here, people don't adjust their expectations for them. They just keep like trying to plug the hole. And
especially bad with goaltenders, I find. Zach Fucali, Jeff Glass. Yeah.
And at some point, we just like need to, you know, just like rip the Band-Aid off and be like, you know, I don't care that he was a World Junior star for Canada. What is he with the Calgary Flames?
Here's a good one. Tyler Wotherspoon. When he was with the Flames, he was like part of that Twin Towers and defense for Team Canada. I think he played a couple years there and just settled into, you know, was a good pro hockey player in the American League, but could not hack it at the NHL level.
And I'm not I'm not writing off Dubé saying he can't hack it in the National Hockey League. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that we penciled him mentally in to be in our top six and be a strong winger for us. And I'm not saying he's not on the roster. I'm just saying I don't think he's a top six winger.
So speaking of top six wingers, are they or aren't they? Did you see who had the overtime winner for Washington in the night?
Oh, why did I know this was coming up?
On a line with Ovechkin that night.
Okay, if he's on a line with Ovechkin when the regular season starts, I don't know what I'll do, but it's not going to happen.
Okay. I'm going to say, because I know you're going to disagree with me here, Matt Phillips is going to score 20 goals this year.
I am hoping you're right, because I think it's a good story.
Yeah, it would be. It isn't because he didn't do it in his home city of Calgary, but anyway.
I know, but you know, at some point we got to get over that now because like Conroy had no choice but to let him go and the fact that he didn't even get to watch him last year. So how's he even know how it's going to correlate? And to throw a contract at him where we were with cap space would have been detrimental to our organization. He was in a tough spot.
That's for sure. So
you know what I'm saying?
Think of all the guys you could let walk, he wasn't the one.
So do you want Pelche in the lineup or Phillips in the lineup?
Both.
Well, who are you losing? Who are you taking out?
Well, I didn't think Coronado was going to be quite this good this quickly. I don't know. We'd figure it out. I just think he's too skilled to let him walk for nothing. Maybe that's a cop-out, but that's how I feel about it.
I don't know who you knock out. I just ripped on Dylan Dubé, but I'd feel safer with Dubé and then Phillips. But I don't know because I never got to see Phillips. So how the hell do I know?
Well, that's the point that so many of us have made, right? We didn't get to see enough of him because of reasons we're not going to get back into because we're trying to move on here.
Oh man!
So just a sidebar because I wanted to tell you this because I knew you'd appreciate it. The van in my Twitter handle is from Van Halen.
I knew that.
I'm a huge, I'm a huge Van Halen fan. So I decided.
Not Vancouver? It's not from Vancouver. You didn't.
Fuck. I hate Vancouver. I don't even like the city, never mind hockey. I decided I was going to cancel my Amazon order for Van Halen, the Collection 2, so that I could buy it in my local record store like I did when I was a teenager. Because I miss the, you know, like the Spotify thrill. Is great and all that. Yeah, like I really miss it. So I thought I'm going to call my local record store, see if they have it on CD. I collect CDs, whatever. So I know a lot of people are big vinyl guys, but anyway.
I collect CDs too, so what you're saying.
Yeah, right? So I called them and I said, you know, do you guys have this in stock? It says, well, we have one coming on CD. I'm like, one? Wow, okay. I said, all right. Could you hold it for me? And the guy says, no, I can't hold it until it gets here. I said, well, I mean, physically, I guess it makes sense. But I said, okay.
It's like, I'm trying to buy locally here, dude. Do you understand what I'm trying to do?
It gets better. I'm like, can you call me when it comes in so I can come get it? He's like, I'm probably going to forget. Call me tomorrow. If it's not here, just call me back again on Friday. And it's just like there's like 6 seconds of dead silence from me on the phone. I'm like, all right, dude, I said, don't worry about it. Click. I call this other place. This lady is like frantically searching. Like, well, I have it on vinyl. I have it on CD yet. I'm like, okay. She's like, show us on order. She's like, can you give me your name and number? I'll call you the minute it arrives. I'm like, fucking thank you. How goddamn hard. Is that what service is these days? Like, how goddamn hard was that? I didn't ask for a price. It's already more money than Amazon by like $10 or $15. I know that. I'm still willing to spend the money.
It shows you who wants business and who doesn't care. I try to buy local. You know, I have a 20% rule. If it's within 20%, I'm buying local.
That's a great policy. Good for you.
I give it the 20%. But, like, they have to want to sell it to me, right?
Yeah, it's not like I was asking for a price. I'm telling you, I'm buying it. The sooner you get it, like, I will drive there any hour of the day to go get it. But anyway, I was floored, like absolutely floored. But anyway, I'm not really sure how I can tie that into hockey, but
you know. How long do you think before you get it?
Probably Friday.
I would say so. Oh.
I hope so. I can't wait to hear that stuff remastered. It's going to be great. Better be great.
So how long before we sign Lindholm?
Oh God. Okay. Once again, before we get into that, let's get into the person talking about it. When the hell did Frank Saravelli become the authority on the Calgary Flames? Like, was it like the middle of summer? He was like in a fucking floating in a lake somewhere and somebody called him, say, hey, you want to cover the Flames? And he said, yeah, sure. Why not?
So that brings us to the tweet of the week. X Factor, I guess it's called now. And they're not even called tweets anymore, right? So our X Factor this week.
Yeah.
Robert, I hope I pronounced the last name right. Munich.
Yep.
Okay. He had a post that got me thinking because I'm like, well, geez. It said, how many centers would you rather have over Elias Lindholm for this season? And he made a list. And I started looking at his list and I'm like, yeah, McDavid, McKinnon, Matthews, Dreisaitl, Pedersen, Hughes, Point, Thompson, Crosby, Bedard, Zibanejad, Stamkos, Heischer, Barkov, Hintz, Kopitar, Scheifele, Aho, Eichel, Suzuki, Larkin. I'm like, I agree with almost every one of them.
Yeah, the only one that jumps off the page to me is Kopitar, only because he's aging out a bit. I don't know that I want him over Lindholm at this point.
This is otherwise, 21 guys listed here. 21 guys.
Larkin, he's such a good skater, though, too. But yeah, no, it points to Lindholm's value.
So is he worth over nine? Like, is he worth this?
And you know what? I'll tie this into my job, right? So right now, lumber is relatively low, especially compared to what it was during the pandemic. Lumber was never worth $65 Canadian for a 7/16 sheet of OSB. It just wasn't. But that's what it cost. Lindholm costs $9 million. Do I think he's worth it in a proper, maybe slightly more oversaturated with centers market? No, but if you can get him for closer to eight, I don't want to see them hand this guy and handcuff him, you know, the long-term deal, but they're going to have to. And if they don't, then what do you do?
So
there's the next center in the pipeline to take over, right?
So this tweet also got me thinking. Does he have the leverage that we think he has, or because we're so deathly afraid of not having a number one center, do we feel like he has way more leverage than he really does?
Well, thanks to Robert, he has all kinds of leverage now. Thanks, Robert.
He doesn't have any. He has no leverage because of him, because there's 21 other good guys.
But there's only 32 teams.
I know. So you can look at, but you can look at that two ways, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, if I'm Lindholm or his agent, it's like, okay, like either we do a deal or what are you guys going to do? Kadri's not number one center. Backlund isn't. Nobody in the pipeline's come out. Nobody's available via trade.
We call Scheifele up. He's on the list.
Does Scheifele want to go from Winnipeg to Calgary, though? Seems like kind of a lateral move.
I doubt it.
I'd like to have him. I love Mark Scheifele.
I do, too. Who's the one guy? Okay, now, obviously, let's take the top-end guys off there, right? Like McDavid and McKinnon.
Yeah. That's a class all
of someone in the middle of the pack. Who would you really, really like to have?
Probably Barkov because he's criminally underrated.
That's who I was going to say, too.
Yeah, he's so good. Like, it's just ridiculous.
That's who I was going to say.
Scheifele would be fun. Zibanejad,
he's
put up a pile of points, but he doesn't do it for me. I don't know how to explain that one.
The Roope Hintz doesn't do it for me either. And I know he's been really, really, really good. But I'd be scared there.
Aho's another one that I'd like to have.
I would too.
Yeah. That Carolina team's going to be scary, man. I don't know if anybody can touch them this year.
They are going to be something to watch. They're going to be a good team. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, is a Lindholm thing going to be a distraction as the season starts?
Well, do you believe trusted Flames insider Frank Cervelli? It's going to be, it was such a weird way he said it. It's like much higher than 50% chance it's done before the regular season. Much. So 80%, like just, you know what I mean? Like I found that very convoluted, kind of dumb way of saying it. Anyway, I don't think it is. I do think a deal is going to be done. If Conroy can even use half the magic he used in the Backlund deal to make it any way reasonable, even shave a year off that term, it's going to be 8 years, get him for seven. Like, just do what you can, I guess.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Preseason's running to an end tonight. We got Edmonton, Calgary from Rogers Place, and then I don't even remember what the hell the arena in Vancouver's called, but that's what Friday. That's
still Rogers Place.
They bought the GM Place.
He used to be GM Place.
The hell is it now? I hate that. Why can't we just go back to the old days? The odd.
Well, I still wish that the Edmonton Arena, like the old one, was called Skyreach Center. That's a cool name, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
I don't even know what it's called, but we play there, what, Friday night?
It's Rogers Arena.
Rogers Arena. That's Friday night, right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing we're going to see our opening roster on that night, probably.
Pretty safe bet or damn near it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a late one. Oh, 11 o'clock here. Blech.
Oh,
Kyle's gonna need a nap. Kyle's gonna need a nap.
Kyle is not gonna be very well. Saturday, you don't have to work Saturday, do you?
No, I don't work weekends, but it just
still cuts into that sleep time for Kyle.
Oh, I have a hard time. Like, even on weekends, I can't sleep in. I'm too much of a busybody. Like, when I'm an old man, I'm gonna putter like you've never fucking seen. The nicest lawn in the neighborhood, screaming at all the kids. Just you wait.
I'm already that way. Oh, shit. We better go.
We're going to have the Grumpy Old Men podcast.
Oh, jeez. We are back next week. Season opener episode. We're going to record on Tuesday, hopefully. Get it out Wednesday morning, opening day.
Yeah.
Flames Jets drop the puck that night. So we'll talk about how things shake down as camp ends. We're going to give our line combos on who we think.
Yeah, when's the roster deadline? When's
roster deadline will be Monday.
Oh, cool. So we have that one day, just kind of let it sink in.
We're going to let it
sink. It's going to be fun. There's some cool battles. Man, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens the next few days.
We are 1 week away from the drop of the puck. Winnipeg Jets in town. Take on the Flames. Our next episode will be dropping a day early. It'll be dropped next Wednesday. And Kyle and I will give our line combos and do all that good stuff. And I got a feeling between now and then we're going to have a lot of time.
Absolutely. So will everybody else. So hopefully we see some social media activity. You know, tell us what you guys think. Hit us up with your predictions, your ideas. Maybe a guy on the waiver wire the Flames should look at picking up for the next week. It's a lot going on.
I think we need to get one. Have a good week, Flames fans. Check back next week for another episode of Flames Unfiltered.
Can't wait.
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered with Brad Berube and Kyle Lewis, your source for unfiltered Calgary Flames hockey talk. Keep it locked on flamesunfiltered.ca. Subscribe where you get all your podcasts to never miss an episode. Flames Hockey Talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.